you have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to start reading on verse 28. And if you're physically able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 40, that's the peak we're climbing this morning. Verse 28, this is what the word of God says for the people of God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, another translation may say, those who hope on the Lord, or those who trust upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we do worship you. And we thank you that we have the privilege of serving you in this nation. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We thank you for giving us the freedom to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, that our nation will declare independence, but not independence from you. But that our saying will be, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. And this morning, we thank you that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures and lasts forever. Your word will never return void. Speak to us this morning. We will listen and we will obey in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to talk to you about waiting, about trusting, about hoping in the Lord. And I want to share three things. I want you to see three things about waiting upon the Lord. Number one, I want you to see that waiting on the Lord is worth the wait. Number two, I want you to see what waiting on the Lord is and what waiting on the Lord is not. And number three, I want you to see that waiting on the Lord is the way to renewal. And as I was writing these three things, outlining these three things to you, I was reminded that this message might be particularly made just for me. And you're saying, why, Brother Garcia? Why, Brother Angel? Because I am a person who has a hard time waiting. Can I get a witness this morning? I mean, I'm not good at waiting. I am that one person who's waiting for the green light on the traffic light to change. I mean, the red light. Let me get it right. We're waiting for that red light on the traffic light to change green. I'm counting the seconds. I am. Do I need therapy? Please do not answer that question. I asked my wife and she declined answering that question. Maybe you are like me and you just want things, but we do live in a society that we want things instantly, don't we? We want fast food. We want instant information on demand. We want super fast internet. Or in the words of my grandson Gabriel, supersonic internet. Because super fast is not fast enough anymore. We are that microwave generation that doesn't want it now. We want it yesterday. And we got in trouble because we want it yesterday, and we buy now and pay later, and later we find ourselves in big trouble just because we cannot, what? Wait. I want us to see that waiting on the Lord indeed is worth the wait. One of the greatest spiritual virtues in the Bible has to do with waiting. So as you wait to see what I'm going to teach you about waiting, let me help you wait a little bit. Let me give you some biblical examples of waiting upon the Lord, of waiting upon the Creator that teach us that waiting on the Lord is definitely worth it. I was reading my Bible and I realized that Noah, in the Old Testament had to wait 120 years before the rain came down. Can you imagine that? 120 years? Could you imagine people looking at him? This is a loco person. He's crazy. He's building an ark and it has never rained. 120 years enduring mocking, people making fun of him. But when it rained, nobody was laughing. He waited 120 years, and after the flood came, he had to wait some more for the waters to subside. You look at Abraham and Sarah. Let me tell you, not all of us are expert on waiting. Amen? I'm a witness right here. And Abraham and Sarah waited for the promise of Isaac, but Abraham and Sarah, in the process, try to take matters into their own hands. So not everybody's an expert. So if you're not an expert, I'm not an expert, at least God is the expert and we can trust him. Look at Joseph. I love Joseph in the Bible. In fact, he's my favorite Bible person in the Old Testament. Could you imagine Joseph, all that he went through, all that he suffered, waiting for his time in power? I mean, they put him in a pit, they put him in a prison, and we learn from Joseph as we wait upon the Lord that how you react in the pit, how you react in the prison determines how quickly you get to the palace. Then you come to the New Testament. There is an old man who had been told by God, you're not going to die until you see my salvation. His name's Simeon. He had a PhD on waiting. He waited for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he said, Lord, now you can take your servant home, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We think of Jesus himself as he waited for his time, the promised time to be fulfilled. How many times people came to Jesus and asked him to do this and do that? And his answer was, the time has not yet come. And Jesus waited patiently on the Lord. We think of Mary and Martha as they waited for Jesus to arrive, to come when their brother Lazarus had died. We think of the disciples after they had seen the risen Christ, and he told the disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. But don't do it without the Spirit. Wait. Hold on. Hold your horses. Wait for the promise of the Spirit. And the believers waited. The Holy Spirit came down, and they were witnesses of God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the reason we're worshiping here today, because somebody waited. You think about us. You say, Pastor Garcia, I get excited when I hear about Noah and Joseph, Abraham and Sarah, Simeon and the disciples. But what about us? What are we waiting for? Let me tell you, we have the blessed hope. We wait for the promise of the Savior, who promised that if he came the first time to suffer and die, he will come the second time in power and glory to get his church to be with Jesus. How many of you are waiting for the blessed hope this morning? I'm here to tell you, waiting upon the Lord is definitely worth the wait. All these promises, all these people in the Bible, in each case, they knew God's promises. In each case, they rested in God's character. In each case, they relied upon his love. In each case, it was worth the wait. I want you to see now, not only that waiting upon the Lord is worth the wait, but I want you to see what waiting upon the Lord is. And I think it's just as important to know what waiting upon the Lord is not, because sometimes we get confused, don't we? Sometimes we think we're waiting on the Lord, but really we're not waiting on the Lord. There's this scripture right here, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, is one scripture that I preached on many a time. It's a scripture that I'm sure you heard many a message on this scripture. You probably memorized it. You can quote it. You read it. You preach it. But do we really believe it? I mean, that's fine and dandy, but do we really believe it? The longer I live, and maybe the longer we live together, we realize that life doesn't have many green lights. I know you love the green light. I heard you before. But life doesn't have many green lights. There's hardly a time when God says, well, You want it right now? Go for it. Get it. Don't wait on me. Just go ahead. Get it right now. I guess God is not supersonic when it comes to just doing whatever we want instead of whatever God wants. But what is it that we most often hear God say when we come to him in prayer? What is it that we hear him say? Maybe we don't like it, but maybe you need to hear, why don't you wait on me? And what is our answer? No! I want it yesterday. I don't want to wait. I want it right now. But God says, you know what? You may think you want it now, but I'm going to give you something in the process of waiting. I'm going to make you in the person I want you to be. You're not going to get it until you're fit and ready to receive it. You're not going to get it until you're ready to receive my promise, trust in my character, and take in my love. We want it right away, but God says, I'm going to use the process of waiting to make you into the woman I want you to be. I'm going to use the process of waiting and trusting to make you into the man I want you to be. You may think you need it now, but God says, I know you might think it's better for you, but God says, I would want you to understand the reason I'm asking you to wait is because when you wait, you lined up with my purposes. And you lined up with my plans. And if I give it to you right now, you won't want to wait and learn the process of God. Waiting is not, you ready for this? Passivity. Waiting is not passivity. This actually happened to me, but I had to modify the illustration. Happened to me back in 1991 or 92. I talked to a person. Well, I just say it this way. A person came to his pastor and said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been out of work for 2 months. Usually what we say is, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. But sometimes we get curious, right? Don't you? I've asked people, are you praying for what you're asking me to pray? And sometimes they're honest and say, no, I'm not praying. That's why I'm asking you to pray. I said, it's not right. You want me to pray and you're not willing to pray? That doesn't work that way. If you don't pray, I won't pray. Let's pray together. But this person came up to the pastor and said, I've been out of work for two months. I need a job. Would you pray for me? And the pastor was curious and asked him, well, have you applied for any jobs? No. Well, have you submitted your resume to any of the job agencies? No. Well, back in that day, you used to read newspapers and look at the classifieds to see if you could find jobs. Have you looked at any newspapers? No. And in our day's time, you would ask, have you looked at Indeed.com to see if you could find a job? No, Pastor, I have not looked. I'm just waiting on the Lord. That is not waiting on the Lord. How many of you know that is just being lazy? I said, I got a word from the Lord. Get up and do your part, and God will do his part. That's not waiting on the Lord, because waiting on the Lord interweaves divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Pastor Garcia, I don't like it when you use $25 words on Sunday. That's not really hard. What that means is God is going to work together with you. God is going to do his part, and you do your part. So you have a responsibility, and God is going to move when you are obedient. It means I've done everything I know how to do, but it's not enough, and I'm waiting on God to do what I cannot do for myself. I never understood this so clearly until 1998, because in 1998, I went to Ecuador on a mission trip, and when I came back from Ecuador to Connecticut, that's where we lived back then, a missionary sent me a quote on waiting on the Lord. And at that time, I had that quote posted on my office to remind me what waiting on the Lord is and what waiting on the Lord is not. The quote was written by Dr. Richard C. Alberson. So I just want you to listen to it as I read it here. Waiting on the Lord is not idleness. Waiting on the Lord is involvement, involvement in the ultimate. Waiting on God is the way to listen to maximum efficiency and effectiveness. The man who refuses to wait on God may be busy, but much of his activity may be busyness, not business. He may be going places, but he doesn't know where. The rat race is not inaccurate in describing his plight. Waiting on God is not a pious practice, it's a practical rule for life. To wait on God is to have perspective. To wait on God is to be prime, to be more productive. To the prophet Isaiah put it this way, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God is the way of renewed strength. Not to wait on God is the way of exhaustion. Waiting on God is to mount up wings and stay there. It is to run and not be weary. The man who will not wait wears out prematurely. To wait is to walk and not to faint. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know that the Creator God of the Bible, who is beyond our comprehension, who is beyond our ability to understand all of his ways, because his ways are higher than our ways. Isn't it great to know that that God is interesting to work on behalf of those who trust, who hope, and wait on him? I wonder many, many times, how many blessings, and I think it's a lot, we miss out on because we refuse to do what? To wait. I think we miss out on many blessings because we're not willing to wait. We're out there working beyond what we should instead of waiting. And God is looking down from heaven at us, trying to do the impossible, trying to do what God can only do. And God is looking down on us from heaven and he says, would you stop that, please? Stop it. Knock it off. Would you please just wait on me? I act on behalf of those who wait upon me. Waiting on the Lord, it's not only worth the wait, sure is. You could ask Joseph when you get to heaven. Waiting on the Lord is not passivity, it's being involved in his ultimate purpose and plan, in the ultimate greatest news that we could share, the good news of Jesus Christ. But waiting on the Lord is the way of renewal. It's the way of renewal. You see, waiting upon the Lord teaches us how to be renewed. You didn't know that. I want you to know that this morning. I'm not saying that waiting on the Lord is easy. It's not. In fact, waiting on the Lord sometimes is very difficult. Sometimes it's actually painful. Can I get a witness this morning? I mean, it's not easy. At times it may be painful, but I'm here to remind you again, in the words of my grandson Joshua, let me tell you something. Waiting on the Lord is worth the wait. A survey was conducted. I don't know how many people they surveyed, but it was a lot of people. Of the top five most difficult things to wait for, the people could only answer with one word. Think about that. A survey was conducted of the top five most difficult things to wait for. They were asked to name in one word something that is hard to wait on God for. Number five. You ready for it? Justice. I mean, think about it. Maybe you've been a victim of injustice. I read social media, and it seems like everybody has been a victim of injustice, whether it's one way or the other. I don't care. Everybody complains about it. And if you're a believer and you're serving Jesus Christ and people are persecuting you and saying all manner of evil stuff against you, if you're being righteous before God, if you're doing what God is calling you to do, maybe you're facing injustice. But I'm here to tell you that if we wait upon the Lord, we realize that he is the one that says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It's not for us to repay. God is the one that does the repaying. Are we waiting on the judge of all the earth to do what he said he would do? Are we waiting on the judge of all the universe to step in into the scene and indicate that he has kept a perfect record of every injustice, that every wrong will be righted, that all the books will be balanced? And at that moment, people will say, justice is not blind. And you say, why? Because the one who's sitting on the throne, his eyes are like flame of fire. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows every intention of the human heart. And he will make everything right. He will bring justice and balance the books. So wait on the Lord. Don't take matters into your own hands. Number four, reconciliation. Number five, the five word, number five issue that came up was justice. Number four, reconciliation. Maybe you and I can identify here because we all might have relationships that have been severed in our walk with Christ, in our families. Relationships that have been broken and damaged. And you reached out in grace. And you reached out in humility and forgiveness. And the other person on the other side has a hard heart like a rock. And it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter what you've done. You don't get anywhere. And it seems like there's nothing you could do because there's so much pride and hardness on the other heart. And you said, I've done all I can. That's it. I'm done with this. I'm like Pilate. I want to wash my hands. I'm here to tell you, you're not done everything that could possibly be done. There's something else that you could do. Say it with me. You can wait. Believe me, you can wait. I've seen this 40, 50, 60 years later. Reconciliation, even at the deathbed of people. Wait upon the Lord. Now, this one gets a little iffy and personal. And young people and young adults, I want you to listen to me very well. I didn't come up with the survey. You could blame the people that came up with the service. Number five was justice. Number four was reconciliation. But did you know that for some people, marriage is hard to wait for? Said Pastor Garcia, that's because they haven't been married. That's why they're... You know, number three is marriage. And I think about the young people in our church is saying, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just praying. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And you know, by the way, when we were doing Elevate last summer, or this summer, a few weeks ago, we actually talked about this, and I'm just going to give you this for free. This is a freebie. Here's the three-point part. Prayer, plan, and parents. Do not ignore those three things. Pray before you get married. Listen to your parents. They've been around the block. Can I get an amen? And number three, you better have a plan, because if you have no plan, you're going nowhere. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Have a biblical plan. Pray. Listen to mama and dada and have a plan. That was just free, okay? But where is that person? I see you could just imagine them praying and saying, Lord, I've just been waiting. I cannot wait anymore. Where is that person you prepared for me? They got really spiritual. Before the foundation of the world. His DNA and my DNA, I'm just going to be the perfect match. And we don't even have to do a DNA test. Lord, where is that beautiful fox you prepared for me? Lord, where is that handsome-looking boy that I've been praying for? And they get desperate, and they stop waiting. And one day, they show up to their house, and their parent says, that's not it. And she's saying, that's him. I know for sure that's him. And the parents are saying, we've been praying. That's not the person we've been praying for. And she's saying, no, that's him, that's him, that's him. He goes for the guys too, by the way. That's him, that's him, that's him. And Dada will come and say, listen, my daughter, you could put that boy in the oven in May, and by the time Thanksgiving comes, he's not ready yet. But what is the problem? The problem is that we wait for weeks. Amen? The problem is that we wait maybe for months, and in some cases, even for years, and then we're what? We're tempted to do what? Compromise. Let me tell you from the bottom of my heart, you don't want to be married that bad. You don't. You say, well, Brother Garcia, doesn't the Bible says that it's better to marry than to burn? Yes, he does. But I met some people say, yeah, and I got married and I still got burned. I'm serious. You better wait upon the Lord. You want to find the person of God's choosing for you. I don't care how long you have to wait, but let me say it again. You don't want to be married that bad. Just wait upon the Lord. Here's something else that's difficult. It's a difficult word for many people. It's difficult to wait for. Maybe you know some couples in this predicament. Here's the second word that people came up with: conception. Maybe you know people who have been waiting and praying for the privilege and the blessing of God to be parents. They've been waiting for a baby, and month after month, disappointment after disappointment, the heartache that goes into that. They tried for years. They're going to doctors every month. They're spending the savings that they have. And then they come to church and you have some people that even judge them, and they think they know what they need to tell that person. Let me tell you something. Please be quiet. Not everybody has to do it the way you did it. You don't know what's going on in every person's heart. Only God knows. We should not be judging those people. Let me tell you, you don't know what people should do. Only God knows what He's led them to do. God doesn't lead everybody exactly the same way. It's a short testimony, true testimony, and I know what the reaction is going to be when I share this. I don't have any spiritual superpowers. People call me angel, but everybody knows no wings, no halo. My wings and halo are sitting over there. And throughout, I would say even before, you know, maybe 1994, 93, people have come to me and said, would you pray? We can't have a baby. I said, I don't mind praying. I believe God. And I've actually laid this little hands on them, and they have a baby. I said, well, that's a coincidence. No, it's happened several times. I got the pictures and the names to prove it. And I'm saying, this is what God has done. I didn't do it. And I'm not telling you that God is going to do it for everybody, but I'm just here to tell you that God is able. Be patient and keep waiting on the Lord and have the faith to receive. No, I just said that, and at the end of the service, nobody's going to want to shake my hand and say, well, I already have 5 children, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you it truly has happened. I've gone on vacation trips. I've gone on mission trips, and people have asked me, and I don't know why, but God does this. To God be the glory. And here's the number one answer. Let's review real quickly. Number one was injustice. Number 5, injustice. Number 4, reconciliation. Number 3, it was marriage. Number 2, conception. And here comes the hardest one that people have said, healing. It got real quiet, didn't it? Healing. I mean, maybe you've been to the doctor lately, and you're still waiting for the results. And your heart is beating real fast, and you're waiting to hear some news about what the future is going to be. Or maybe you got some bad news from the doctor, and now that future doesn't look so bright, and there is some uncertainty in your life. Now you're facing something like you've never seen before, but I'm here to tell you that is a very hard place to be. But you know what? God is faithful there too. God loves you, and I pray that the word that you're listening to today will bring faith to your heart, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I pray that you would understand that this is a time to wait upon the Lord and to trust Him. Am I saying that God is going to heal everybody? He didn't heal my dad, and he went to heaven. He healed my mom several times. I thought she was going to die 7 times. My McLaren Hospital, they already knew me. And then she would go to hospice and then come out of hospice. You go to hospice and come out of hospice. I never knew until the time came. Her time came and she went to be with the Lord in glory. But I'm here to tell you, you have to wait whatever situation you're in, because God keeps His promises. And this is why we wait on the Lord, because He's faithful, exceedingly abundantly in mercy. And He will do it, and the Holy Spirit will help you. Waiting upon the Lord requires faith. Waiting upon the Lord requires going through the fire sometimes and still trusting God that He will see you through. Waiting upon the Lord requires that we believe the impossible, look for the unseen answers, hope in the times of hopelessness, and know that without knowing why or how, God will take care of us, and we could wait on God. And when you wait on God, the answer is hallelujah. I'm glad I waited upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Put your faith and trust in Him, and He will let your spirit soar above this world. He will lift you on eagle's wing, and he will strengthen you for the journey ahead. Only patiently waiting, placing your wholehearted faith in Jesus and trusting in him, you will have renewed strength. I want to conclude this morning by telling you that I believe that this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. And I know you're looking at me saying, but yeah, we only read 4 verses. That's not fair. But I want to conclude just giving you, I hope you have your Bible still open, real quickly, my own outline, a summary of this chapter, because I really believe that it's one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible, not just because of these verses that we read this morning, but because it is a chapter where you see such profound beauty. You see prophetic word, you see poetic word, and you see practical word in this chapter. Look at verses 1 and 2. It's a chapter of comfort. Look at verses 3 and 6. It's a messianic chapter as we hear the echoes of that voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. Look at verses 7 and 8. It talks about the perpetuity and the eternality of God's word. The grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Look at verses 9 and 12. It's a majestic chapter. It talks about his majesty. Look at verses 13 and 17, the supremacy of God as the judge of all the nations of the earth. The Lord in verses 18 through 26 is made clear that there's no one like him. There's no one like our God, people. He is beyond being compared. You cannot compare God to anything. He just blows any box you try to put God in. He is beyond comparison. Nothing, no one can compare to him. But then, you know, you get excited about this. I'm liking this. Promises of comfort, a messianic word. I like this. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's creator. He's majestic. But then, you know, we're going really fast down this road, and then there's like a U-turn. In verse 27, you hear this word from Isaiah, what the people of Israel were saying. Listen to what Israel, O Jacob, was saying. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is passed over by God? They're basically saying God doesn't see what I'm going through. They're saying God doesn't care what I'm going through. Why is my way and my claim is passed over by my God? The people of Israel were in despair. And they were saying, yes, we believe he's the creator. Yes, we believe he's majestic. But I really want to know right now, it's not ABCs of the Bible. I really want to know right now, does he really care for me? Does he understand what's keeping me up at night? Does he know that when I wake up in the morning, my pillow is drenched with tears? Does he know that I cannot take one more step? I'm struggling so bad. Nobody knows. They laugh at me. They think I'm okay. They look at my profile. They see a smile, but they don't know. But does God know? Does he care? Does he have an answer for me? They thought God could not help them. So Isaiah does something marvelous. He answers the question with another question. Don't you love it when God does that? By the way, he does that a lot in the Bible. He does. And Jesus used to do that too, by the way. And this is the answer that he answers the question with. He says in verse 28, we come to full circle now. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable, but listen to what the Lord loves to do, that I love to share with you, that awesome God of the Bible, he loves to do this. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here it comes. But those who wait, those who trust, those who hope upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who hope in God means that whatever you're going through, you're saying, Lord, I feel like throwing in the towel. Lord, I feel like walking away from church. Lord, I don't want to face this anymore. I don't want to endure this anymore. I'm tired of what I'm going through. I'm in this valley. Nobody seems to care. But those who wait upon the Lord say, even though I'm going through this, even though I'm fighting this trial, even though I'm facing this fiery trial, I'm not giving up on God. I'm not giving up on the God of the Bible, because He will renew me and He will do what He's promised to do. I'm not going to stop believing in God. I'm going to believe Him, and here's the promise that He gives us. Everything's going to be fine and dandy, pinky roses next day. Nope. That's not the promise. He does that sometimes, but He didn't change Jesus' circumstances in Gethsemane. He didn't change Jesus' circumstances on Calvary's cross. But sometimes He does, and I'm not saying He doesn't, but the answer almost 100% of the time is not everything's going to be fine and dandy. The answer is that He's going to give you strength to face what you're facing. He's going to give you renewal to go through the trial. He's going to strengthen you. And when you feel you don't have any more oxygen in your lungs, you don't have any air, in that moment as you're waiting upon the Lord, you start renewing strength, and He gives strength to those who are weary. He gives strength to those who feel, I can't take no. You don't even talk to me about flying. Don't even talk about me about soaring on eagle's wing. Don't talk to me about running. I barely can walk. I'm facing the most difficult situation of my life. I'm here to tell you, wait upon the Lord. He renews your strength. And just when you feel you can, then He comes and strengthens you, and you take that step. And then when you think you can't take the other step, He renews and gives you renewal and strength. And you start walking every day. And you start seeing the glory of the Lord. You start mounting up with wings like eagle. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not be faint.